Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So often.
The green lights are on.
Okay.
Green means go. Hi guys. This is new. Mm-hmm. We've got a video format. And we've got some snazzy microphones.
I know.
Yeah, welcome back to Style Over Substance with me, Scarlett.
And myself, Mim.
We put out new episodes every Tuesday. We've had a little bit of a break, mm-hmm. but we have come back with, video format so you guys can A, see the fact that we actually do know each other.
Yeah.
hopefully see that, we get along well. We've been friends for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
But also, like, that's the way podcast format's moving.
Yeah.
We wanted to deliver, a new challenge for ourselves, mm-hmm. and, elevate this podcast. We've been doing it for 2 years now. So this is new for us, but exciting. We tried to do it a little bit towards the end of last year, but we're back.
Yeah. It didn't work so well, but as you say, we're back. We had a bit of a break of a few months, maybe about 4 months, but we've been doing this podcast for 2 years now. Started in the summer of 2020, massive learning curve.
Yeah.
Kind of got better at it.
Thank goodness we weren't being filmed then.
That's true. I mean, just sitting on our bedroom floor, Zoom calling each other, trying to record a podcast
and then we'd be sat in the dark. You remember when we'd be doing it?
Yeah.
And the light would go because the sun would have set. And we'd be both you'd just see the red light of our microphones or something.
I think because this is our first episode where we're actually doing audio and visual, I think it's probably worth, for a lot of the new people, new to us anyway, who are watching, we wanted to do an introductory episode again, talk about who we are, what our podcast is about, why we started our podcast, and also give you a bit of a flavour of the 100 plus episodes we've already done, and talk about our guests. So why do you think it was important for us to start this podcast, Style Over Substance?
Well, it helped us talk more.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We've been friends for 20 years, but I think every friendship goes through a period of time where you don't see each other that much. You go to uni, you have jobs or whatever, and you drift apart from certain people just simply out of logistics. Definitely this podcast forced us to speak to each other constantly throughout the week, record every weekend. Yeah, that's true.
So that was nice. But also I think we have a mutual thing, an interest in fashion.
Yeah.
The whole world was starting a podcast at the time. It was a really nice project to have in lockdown. But also what was it? We saw a stat, didn't we? A few months ago of how many podcasts get past a certain point.
Oh yeah.
And it's really not many that last beyond I feel like it wasn't even a year.
No, it wasn't. It was less than a year, and it was over half of them don't make it.
And then I swear it was probably about 30% of podcasts last more than a year, something like that.
Yeah.
We enjoy talking about fashion. We wanted to talk about our experiences of being in fashion, and disclaimer, we're no longer in fashion. We'll get into that a little bit later. And just talk about it. It's something that we've always really enjoyed ever since we were young. We used to discuss Met Gala looks. We'd sit in the library on the computers at school and we'd discuss it.
Back in the day when the website was style.com, it wasn't even Vogue.
Love Style.com.
They owned a website called Style. It no longer exists.
Yeah.
I know. And we used to watch after award ceremonies, the looks, Met Galas, and things like that. And that was before influencer culture. Instagram wasn't a thing.
And we were big into Couture Fashion Week. Like, I remember being like, oh, Couture Fashion Week is my favorite, because we were big Ellie Saab fans.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we used to discuss it. And then we'd be like, which look would we wear from the Ellie Saab show?
Yeah.
So we've always liked that. We've always discussed it. We've always maybe like talked about the topical stuff. It's like, it's funny, like thinking about it in hindsight, it feels really natural that this came about.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why we've managed to keep going for so long.
Yeah, that's true.
Like any other topic, I don't think we would have had this like much energy or like content for.
Yeah.
But somehow we still have a lot more that we want to say. But yeah, we, as you said, like it was the summer of 2020. Everyone was starting a podcast. We were like, let's try it out. Let's buy some microphones off Amazon and wing it and figure it out. But yeah, there's like so many topics that we've already discussed. And I think besides like our friendship, we wanted to offer like an insider perspective of like, this is how it actually is working in fashion from like you from a design perspective, myself for more like merchandising, and give an honest account of how we found it. Like we love the glamour of it, and we still do.
And we still buy into it. And we still buy it. Despite knowing the truth.
But also like heads up guys, or like, full disclaimer, it's not like that. Here's the other side to it. And like, I think very often when you go online and you see influencers, and it's like amazing. I love all of that stuff. But I don't really know a lot of people who say, you know what, it's actually shit working in fashion.
Not many people lift the lid on it. It still is a really like, yeah, it's true actually. Even having experienced it myself, like, you still don't see it online, or you kind of like forget, if you forget your own experiences, because like the mind and the memory can like protect you.
It's just like convenient amnesia.
Yeah. Like, well, it's protection mode or whatever it might be. But you like, it's not a spoken about thing. The main reference is The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
But that's the only real cultural reference. And like, that's meant to be a caricature. I mean, like, in my opinion, I don't think it is. Like, but it's meant to be tongue-in-cheek. It's meant to be whatever. And yeah, there aren't many real accounts of how it is. I don't know why. I didn't have to sign an NDA. Did you?
No.
So
I wasn't that important.
But like, free speech and all of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so yeah, we've talked about loads of topics. We've talked about kind of, like, I've talked about my interning experiences, different trips that I've been on, and weird jobs that I got asked to do, like in the early interning days. And like stuff where like, oh, that wasn't probably appropriate for me to be, you know, going and getting like medicine and stuff like that. Or like your main job of the day is like going and signing for an artwork for your boss, like at their house.
Like being an executive assistant for someone who that's not your job role.
Yeah. And you're trying to do an internship and learning about designing. Like things.
Yeah.
We've talked about all sorts. We've talked about like leathers, because we've both worked in the accessories industry. We've talked about brand profiles. So we've like done sort of like a spotlight on people like Bottega, you know,
Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah.
I think we did a Karl Lagerfeld episode. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, we have over 100, so excuse them, brain fog on that.
But I think some of our most successful ones have definitely been our guest episodes. Like, you know, as we said, we started this in 2020. Lockdown was with us. It was like the hottest summer, and there was like everyone who was in like fashion industry, there was there were no events and fashion shows to go to.
Their diaries were really empty.
Their diaries are empty. No one in marketing was spending their budget, you know, clearly, because we managed to get a real good selection and breadth of guests who were willing to come onto our new podcast and just chat about. So for example, we had Brian Sakawa, absolute men's fashion legend of He Spoke Style, talk about classic fashion influences, going to Milan for obviously the men's collections, and his kind of influences and his like pointers on top five things for any guy who wants to start dressing really well. Yeah. What you should get. Yeah.
We also had Style Me Sunday, Natalie, and she had a really great perspective. She has fun and doesn't take herself too seriously. Yeah. It's about body positivity, although she didn't really like us saying that or being, she doesn't like to be connected with that.
Yeah.
Because it's so much more than that. But sort of her journey in style and how she expresses herself with clothes, has fun with it. And like her relationship of like growing her audience online and all the rest of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And definitely like coming into her own and finding out more about herself from all different, like,
life continues after the 20s, guys.
Yeah. I know. Here we are in our 30s. We entered into our 30s on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was something. And we had episodes about like aging and style and perspective and things like that. Back onto guests. We had Fernand Frimpong, who actually, he is like a presenter and videographer. And he came on to talk to us about the production of shows.
Yeah.
And giving us his insight on how different techniques and visuals and imagery might be achieved. So that was really cool from a different perspective. And he has actually met Brian Sakawa whilst they were on a job together. Brian, he is a serviceman in the US military, but he also plays in their band, brass band.
Part of the brass section.
Yeah, and he was performing in Scotland with his group. And Fernand was also working with the BBC to film and produce this whole show. So, small world.
Full circle moment for the podcast. We love that. We had Chi Washington, who had recently started a YouTube channel. And we talked to her about, you know, saving up for that piece and really celebrating it. Mm. And so she would kind of do an unboxing, but then also how she would style it. And like, me, I think for you as well, I like consuming relatable content, and I think like that really shines when someone's relatable. She's a school teacher, like she's having to save up to buy that Louis Vuitton piece, and I think it's a really nice thing to celebrate that, and like it's just, I find that really relatable, and it's like fun to like kind of talk about how that's like, that's the origin of a lot of this stuff. And like, we arguably would do exactly that.
Yeah.
If we had the confidence, time or space.
Yeah. Like, I think in the age of kind of being desensitized from a lot of these prices.
Yeah.
And we've had a separate episode about luxury pricing. But yeah, as you said, she, you know, she's a teacher and she's got two small kids. And she was starting her YouTube channel at the time. And it just brings you down to earth, like how, you know, spending £1,000, £2,000 on something is not something that, you know, we as normal lay people could do all the time.
Or people do lightly. Like we get so desensitized to that. When someone does a haul, like I watched even earlier, someone did like a Net-a-Porter haul. And like, you know, there's always someone in the comments.
I've never seen that Net-a-Porter haul.
Oh my God, yeah.
I think I need to start watching that.
Like it wasn't a set, like it was just in like this vlog I was watching. And like someone in the comments will always add it up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it, like, I don't even have to look at that comment these days, but you just know someone's spent like an obscene amount of money and it's Net-a-Porter that they're buying their clothes from. But like, we get desensitized to that. But actually, like, it's nice to remember, like, oh, yeah, no, actually, that is aspirational. And I can do that. I could put, like, £50 away each month. And, like, yes, it might take a while or whatever. But you can celebrate that moment. And
exactly. And recognize that, as you said, it requires a lot of thought before making such a big purchase like that. And so it was great to get Chi's perspective and just honest take on, like, listen, I can't be doing these purchase videos all the time. I have to switch up because I'm not buying Louis Vuitton every week.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. And then we also had Annie Amusu, who had her own online website that basically was helping curate and sort of like
I don't know, you explain it a lot better than I do, to be honest. Yeah, she had a website called epiphany.com, and it helped consumers like buy a lot of beauty products and like hair products that you might not find in the UK necessarily, or you'll really rely on reviews from people who have tried it. And also it was a great website to find where can I buy that product, but at the best price.
Yeah.
And that's really important as well. You know, as with luxury fashion, I think the beauty space, the mainstream beauty space, has become more luxury.
You know, oh my gosh, yeah.
Before it was like
especially hair, but everything. I think we're investing in ourselves more than ever.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, this is like, I'm going to feel really old saying it, but when I grew up, like, even our mums would be buying their makeup from Boots, right? Like,
yeah. It would be like Boots or like Debenhams or House of Fraser.
They'd get their, they'd maybe get their foundation shade from like Bobbi Brown or whatever, but then they'd top it up. Like, my mum still uses like a Rimmel mascara, whatever. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, granted.
Wouldn't be caught dead in that though.
No, but granted, like, I love all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's now a space where you can buy into everything in your life. Do you know, like, so I think beauty used to be like, oh, but I can get this from Boots, oh, like, that's fine. Like, but now there's literally like an elevated version that's accessible for everybody in terms of like
availability.
Yeah. And because of the online space and because of influencers. Like everything, especially like haircare, like the guy from the Four Gay Guy program.
Queer Eye.
Yes, sorry.
There's five of them.
I've never watched it.
Oh really?
Jonathan's hair.
Yeah, Jonathan Van Ness.
He's got a hair product line.
Yeah.
And like, and it's a lot, like, it's not premium, but like also Olaplex now is like a given that loads of people
have Olaplex.
So it's so expensive.
So Tracy Ellis Ross,
yeah,
she has a line called Pattern. That is not cheap. That is not.
So this is what Epiphany did though. Was like it brought these products. Oh my god, poor gay guys, don't cancel me.
No. That's the whole point.
It is the whole point of the show.
Bar them being five of them. Okay,
but back to Epiphany. She curated these products and basically like, but whilst managing her full-time job as like a brand and marketing manager.
And
it's these people with passion projects and thinking that, you know, these things don't come without effort, and it's nice to kind of remember that
and just like to hear their journey. As you mentioned, she had a full-time job working from one perspective of like liaising with influencers to push marketing campaigns and whatnot, and understanding fashion and beauty from that perspective. But then also to go home and work on her website, which was doing incredibly well at the time when we spoke to her, and having to learn to be an influencer herself in order to further her website and her business. And just talking about how she juggled that and how she came to be as well.
Mm. We also spoke with, this is one of my favorite conversations, Sam at Teddy Locks Socks.
Yeah.
She basically created a company of socks that were sustainable, made from plastic bottles.
Mm.
And they are genuinely so soft. We got sent some ourselves.
That was our first gifting
experience.
Hashtag ad.
But honestly, they were so soft. But learning also, again, she was a full-time mum, doing this in her spare time. But also cared so the importance of the sustainability of every aspect.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy to call a product sustainable. The socks could be made from plastic, but then you also have to do your due diligence to make sure the factories are ethical, that the sourcing even of those plastic bottles is ethical, like the way it's getting shipped from the factory. Like, you've got to check every part of the journey.
Yeah.
and that's not easy. And she would tell us that, and that was really important that she didn't skimp on that.
Mm.
And also, like, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight that you create a really soft sock either from plastic.
Yeah, exactly. And she was based in the UK. Yeah. She was British, at least. I can't remember if she still lived in the, if she lived abroad, but the production of her garment, which was socks, were in the States.
Yeah.
So it was having a made in the USA sort of product, you know, which the manufacturing of that comes at a premium, coupled with the fact that she was making a product that hadn't been done at the place that she was having them made, and like producing the materials and everything that was involved was new to her suppliers as much as it was new to her.
Yeah.
And really just like building out a whole new supply chain and a whole new production for what she wanted to do. And she was like steadfast on like achieving it the way that she felt it needed to be achieved. So yeah, amazing from someone who, hearing a perspective from someone who's really trying to make things sustainable from the very beginning. You know, there's a lot of brands, and there's no slight to it. Running a fashion brand in general is incredibly difficult, but for many cases it can be let's make a product as much as eco-friendly as we can. That might be 40%.
Yeah.
And we'll let the 60% slide for now. And we'll work on that, yeah, as time goes by, as opposed to someone saying, no, 100% of this needs to, yeah, be recycled, needs to be eco-friendly, from the labels to the packaging, yeah, to the tissue paper it comes in. It was a real test of kind of her endurance and that.
Yeah, definitely. Separate from that, we've had other episodes where we've talked about working conditions for garment workers and stuff like that. We've talked about like when brands claim, especially like high street brands, claim they're trying to be sustainable and what that really means, and just them having like a 100% cotton t-shirt or like their organic t-shirt range or whatever, like what that actually means, and the price that comes at. So we've touched on things like that as well.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a lot of episodes to do with the people aspect, because we also used to be part of the
game.
People. We were staff, workers, you know, and of course we aren't garment workers,
no,
but it was a topic that was really important for us to focus on, because it's like, if we can be in the UK working for some of the biggest names in fashion, for couture houses, and be treated a certain way, or to not be like compensated enough
appropriately,
imagine what it's like for people in Southeast Asia,
yeah,
who are making these garments for us. It's like, yeah, so we've got a few episodes on that.
Yeah. And then we also had a guest episode with Cassie Thorpe.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a pretty big deal at the time and is now huge.
Yeah.
But again, similar to Chi, but she was like a bit more along on her like collection journey.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling us how that went and how she sort of would afford and, you know, save up for these items. And like, that was sort of her passion as well, of kind of like, buying into fashion. And she's kind of is on a non-stop journey off at now.
Yeah, she's doing really well at the moment.
Yeah. And she was really personal, really fun. Showed off like why she's done so well because of just how easy to talk to she was.
Definitely.
And talked a lot actually also about like the consumer experience and how like going into like, there was that really funny thing she said about she doesn't want to feel like she's going to like the Tesco meat counter.
Oh my God, yeah, with the ticketing system, yeah.
Like, you know, if you're buying a product for more than a certain amount, you want to have a really special experience. Like, that's a lot of money.
And I think for someone who is maybe starting out in their collection, like, you're not like quite balling, you know? You're not like, oh, this is just like...
This is just me popping to Whistles or Reese. Like, if I'm going into Louis Vuitton to buy a handbag, like, that's a one-off experience. I'm maybe only going to do that once in the next 5 years, if that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I want you to make me feel like a princess in that moment. Like, I do.
No, you do. You want...
There are some people who do that maybe every week or every paycheck, but I don't. Yeah. So I don't want you to hand me a ticket or write my name down and 100%. Tell me there's an hour wait. I want you to like make me feel like a really valued customer.
Yeah.
And so she was really funny at talking about that.
Yeah, Cassie is great. And so yeah, really, really lucky to have spoken to someone who's really on the up and up in their YouTube career and still so down to earth and so personable. So that was really cool.
And then we spoke to the ladies at Hood London, Gabby and Adele. Such great conversations with them. They so love what they do after doing it for a long time as well. And it's a hard slog. They're in the millinery, so Hood London is hats and I guess head accessories.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an easy industry. What they do is kind of look after quite a niche market. Yes. People who really care about like, vintage, think Dita Von Teese. They have collections with her.
Mm-hmm.
But just, their passion for it and how they kind of have, created this brand together and then playing off of the things they do well to build this brand.
Yeah.
Was really nice to kind of like, play off their strengths and their different work experiences.
Yeah. So Adele, she was also experienced in making sunglasses and eyewear. And so they were bringing that sort of, that department into their primarily hat business and design.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone out there is into vintage fashion, burlesque fashion, that lingerie culture, which is quite big in the UK, you'll definitely know about Hood London. They make amazing, beautiful pieces, really niche. And what was really nice chatting to them was they essentially had worked in fashion before launching their own businesses together, their own business. And so we could talk to them about their experience of working for another brand and how they found it. And also their passion for researching into how hats were made, the fabrics, the execution of hats and millinery in general, researching into styling. And especially when you're in that vintage space, that research of what has gone before is really important. It's part of the aesthetic. And so, that their enthusiasm was, it really just rubbed off on us. We were like, we need to research into hats now.
Yeah.
What we're doing. But another really funny thing to come out of their conversation was we talked about, now you're making my brain go blank. Ascot, the races.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay, so any of you out there who don't know what Ascot and the Royal races are, in the UK, it's like horse racing, which is, it's a royal event and it happens every summer and it's a really big event in, let's say, upper class circles.
It's a place to be seen.
It's kind of it's
a big fashion moment as well in like kind of the horse racing calendar. Yeah. If you're into horse racing, like Ascot is sort of the nicest one. It's called Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
There are dress codes for different like areas of tickets and all of that.
And it's steeped in history and the Queen attends. It's her event in a sense.
R.I.P.
the races is an integral part of the UK annual calendar, essentially. And with that is you have to wear a hat. Women have to wear hats. Do men have to? I think so. Yeah.
Certain areas they do.
Certain areas you have to wear a hat and you're suited and booted. And you really, as you said, fashion is the forefront. And so with that, we had this conversation about their thoughts on Ascot, their thoughts on a lot of the hats we see at the races and in general, our culture of not wearing hats anymore. And they just have the funniest perspectives on all of it, considering that they make hats for a living.
Yeah.
They were adamant that they do not make hats for Ascot because they despise it.
Which is actually also really cool to know that like that's an easy win. As you can say, and like they want to go for what like they are proud of and their kind of respect themselves in everything, which I think, like we said with Teddy Locks, like that's always like they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And then I think last but not least is Cyrus from Phil and Needle.
Yeah.
He is based in LA and is sort of like a sample studio for kind of up and coming brands, but also just, yeah, had a really interesting perspective on how difficult or the challenges now that he sees for emerging designers, but also the trend of the kind and nature of brands that you see starting about and how they go about things. And even when it comes to sizing, like whether they're kind of going just for that unisex thing or like one size fit, like that kind of a culture.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And what was great about Cyrus is that he had a wealth of knowledge for the industry, not from a designer perspective, not from an influencer perspective, but like a businessman perspective. Like he owned factories and like production in LA, and he gave us an insight of like how it is to manufacture within the States, the cost that is associated with that as opposed to maybe producing in China or Bangladesh, the reasons why people would prefer to produce local to them. And then we had a great conversation about 90s fashion, his favorite era of fashion, his appreciation for garments and how that's really been integral to his company and its longevity and why he still does what he does, essentially.
So yeah, we've had some really great guests. We've had some different topical episodes. We definitely recommend visiting some of our back catalogue. But yeah, I think that going forward, there's still going to be much of a same, and we're going to talk about different topics.
Yeah, so we'll still do topics with guests, of course. So let us know if you have anyone that you would like us to see interview and get a big, you know, greater insight of what it is, what their career has been like behind the veil, then we would love to approach them and have them on our podcast. But we will also continue to have episodes which where we take a topic and we discuss it fully. We do like these research topics. And it's just a chance for us to really have a deep discussion about our perspective on our views, where things are going, maybe like predictions for the year, and those greater, larger issues within the industry we love to talk about. But yeah, and then lastly, we always do an episode which is a bit more like personable. We call it our fashion story. And so we'll take something that's maybe recently happened in the in fashion media, in the fashion calendar, and kind of we talk about our own holiday fashion looks. We talk about buying fashion, where we like to buy, what we like to buy. What else?
Anything really. Any fashion news, anything. It can range from, like what struggling to dress for the season, what we're lusting after, but also, like different appointments at fashion houses, all of that.
Definitely. So if you like our intro episode and you want to hear more of our podcast, by all means, listen to all our past episodes, but also be sure to like and subscribe to our channel so you can be notified of when we have another video out. And we're also on socials. So Instagram, we post images and information on our episodes on Style Over Substance Pod. We also are on Twitter, Podcast Style is on Twitter. And you can email us any questions, any suggestions, any guest requests you might have. Email us on styleoversubstancepodcast@gmail.com and we'll respond to you. So, yeah, but thanks, everyone. For all those who have been listening to us from the beginning, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
For sure.
And I suppose hello to everyone else.
Welcome.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.